Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read in the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and reading again at verse 5. Romans chapter 10 at verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or, Who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so on. And out of this passage, if there is one verse we may look into, and more particularly at some point, it may be verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. What must I do to be saved? Is that your question tonight? Many people want to be saved. They are seeking salvation. But sadly, they are seeking it from the wrong quarter. And Paul the Apostle testifies that the Jews were zealous toward God, but they were ignorant of the true method of salvation. They didn't really know how to be saved. They were trying to be righteous before God. They were trying to keep the commandments for acceptance with God. But all the while, they were passing by the way that God Himself had appointed. They were going about to establish their own righteousness and were not submitting to the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? It is Christ's righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ, He brought an end to salvation by works. He has terminated justification by the law. Because we read, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And it is through Him alone that a sinner may be saved. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Christ is the way, not our works. Our good works will not bring us to heaven. Our efforts to keep the law will not earn us the favor of God. Christ alone, and faith in Him alone, faith alone in Him alone, that is the way of justification. That is the way of salvation. And yet you see, friends, for many sinners, this is something very hard to grasp. They naturally think they have to do some good thing in order to be saved. Just as the rich young ruler said, Good master, what good thing shall I do? What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And sinners don't realize that there is not one good thing that we must do in order to be saved. The good thing has been done already. And what we must come to is a stopping of doing things when it comes to our justification, when it comes to our acceptance with God, when it comes to our salvation, being accepted with God. All that is necessary is that we simply rest on what Christ has done for salvation, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And you may know in your mind that Christ has come and worked out salvation. He worked out a righteousness. And yet, you may not know how you may benefit from that righteousness. You see, we tend to think that salvation is very difficult. And even when we know in our minds that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, we think we have to bridge some distance or climb up some height in order to reach it. But you see, friend, that frame of mind is the voice of unbelief. And we need to hear another voice, a still small voice, and that voice is the voice of Christ in His Word. And He is speaking, and we read in verse 6, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart," don't be in this frame of mind, "who shall ascend into heaven?" That is to bring Christ down from above. "Or who shall descend into the deep?" That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Don't be saying that. What saith it? What does the righteousness of faith say? It says this, "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. So, my friends, what we want to point out tonight is that God brings near His salvation. He brings near His righteousness. So that we find from the Word of God the impossibility of salvation by the law. It is impossible to be saved by the law. We must look not to the law, but to Jesus for salvation, that we may be accepted with God, that we may have life. We must not do and live. That's the law. We must believe and live. Believe in Jesus, and we will have life. So that is the first point tonight, the impossibility of salvation by the law. In the second place, the accessibility of salvation by faith. The accessibility of salvation by faith. Yes, it is accessible. God brings it near. There is no distance that we have to travel because He has brought it close to home, so near that we might go to consider it in the third place, the familiarity of salvation by faith. It's familiar to us. It's not a mystery. God brings near His salvation. Jesus says He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's plain. It's brought before us in simple terms. A child can understand. You want to go to heaven, you must depend on Jesus to bring you to heaven. "I am the door. By me," Jesus said, "if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." The familiarity of salvation by faith. So we have these three points as we consider this part of God's Word with His grace and help. Let us trust in him to enable us to understand, because it is all plain to him that understandeth the way of salvation. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What must I do to be saved? Jesus tells us it has been done. He cried on the cross, "It is finished. It is completed. It has been done." But I'm afraid there are some here tonight who are not really asking that question, "What must I do to be saved?" Some are somewhat indifferent to this whole idea of salvation, and they are putting salvation from them, not just by ignorance, but by willfulness. And they are not anxious to be saved. They're not like the Jews who had a zeal for God, but were ignorant of God's method of salvation. They're not asking, "Is this true of you tonight?" You're not asking, "What must I do to be saved? I want to be saved. Show me the way. I'll do anything to be saved." You're not saying that. Can you expect to be delivered from hell if you're not concerned about your soul? But to you who are anxious, concerned, trying to be saved, God tells you in this part of his word, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And for whatever your condition, whatever your state tonight, hard and rebellious, going on, turning your back upon God, still, God offers life and salvation to you. And to you, friend, as hardened and rebellious as you may be, salvation is as free to you as it is to the most self-righteous, concerned, zealous person who ever lived. It's free. Absolutely free. So come and welcome to Jesus Christ. First of all, then, the impossibility of salvation by the law. The impossibility of salvation by the law. Here the Apostle Paul, writing the Romans by inspiration, is contrasting two methods of salvation. Salvation by the law, salvation by faith. Justification by the law, justification by faith. Justification is simply, how can a man be just with God? How can a person be righteous before God? Because, of course, God requires righteousness. In order to be accepted with God, a person must be righteous. But the question is, whose righteousness? The sinner's righteousness or Christ's righteousness? Justification by the law, salvation by the law, acceptance with God by the law. It is speaking in this way, by these terms. Verse 5, Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. That is the righteousness that is the basis of acceptance with God, which comes by the law, by obedience to the law. That righteousness which is of the law says that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, do and live. If you do it, you will live. If you obey the law, you will be saved. You will be accepted with God. That's what justification by the law says. Paul is quoting Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now, does this mean that the Old Testament saints were saved by doing the law? No, that's not what it means. Here, Moses is describing the general principle that obedience brings life. And this is a general principle that operates in a believer's life. It is true that when a child of God, already saved, is more obedient and attains to higher degrees of holiness, that child of God will be more conscious of the favor of God. God will smile upon him in his experience. He will feel God's presence. But does that mean that that is how he has been saved and accepted with God? By doing, by keeping the commandments. Does that mean that's how he was saved and delivered from hell? No. It's the general principle. Do and live. Obedience brings life and favor. And if you take the words by themselves, if the words are formally taken and considered just by themselves, it certainly describes the way of justification by the law. If you obey the law, you will receive life. Now that's not partial obedience. That's not obedience up to a point and then God will meet you halfway. No. Do and live. Do it perfectly. And anything short of that, all works that are not perfect lead to condemnation. As Paul reminds us in Galatians chapter 3, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now you see, to do them was just what the zealous Israelites were trying to do. They were looking to the law. They thought that if they could just obey the commandments, they would be saved. That was self-righteousness. They were relying on themselves to be good enough to be accepted with God. But you see, as we have said, this way of justification is impossible. It's impossible. Who is good enough to go to heaven by their own righteousness? Who can suffer enough to wipe away past sins which deserve the infinite wrath of God? And as we said already, Christ has set aside once and for all this way of salvation, justification by works, and that by fulfilling the law himself. He obeyed the law in the place of guilty sinners. Not for everyone, but for everyone who believes. As it is very clear and plain in verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So if you're not believing in Jesus, then the general principle is still in operation. Do and live. And if you don't do, you won't live. If you're going to focus on that, on this way of salvation, if you're not believing in Jesus, then that's the principle, that general principle that will come into operation in your life. Do and live. And if you don't do, you won't live. You see, we need to turn from that way to this way, to the way of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. It's impossible for us to keep the law of God for acceptance with God as it is for us to scale the heavens. And if you say, well, it's impossible for me to keep the law perfectly, I have a sinful nature. Well, friend, you speak the truth. But at the same time, don't think to yourself that salvation is unattainable. Listen to what the righteousness of faith has to say. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. We've considered what Moses says. Let's now hear what the righteousness which is of faith says. Who is the righteousness of faith? It's a righteousness that is speaking. Some people say that Paul the Apostle is personifying righteousness. He's making righteousness to speak as a person. But is it personification? Or is there a person here? Why do we need to say that there is personification, giving it personal traits and qualities, that this is the personification of righteousness, when there is a person after all, and he is speaking to us, and that is the Lord our righteousness, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness, the righteousness of God. Jesus is the righteousness of God, and he is speaking to us, and he is speaking on this wise, in this way, he is speaking thus, and he is warning us of the danger of unbelief. He is telling us to be not unbelieving. In other words, very plainly he says, don't say in your heart. Do not say this, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Don't say in your heart. Don't have a frame of heart or be in a state of mind such that if it could come out in words, it would say something like this. Who's going to go up to heaven? Bring Christ down from above. Who's going to go down into the deep and raise up Christ again from the dead? Let not your frame of mind or heart be such that if it could be come out in words, it would say that. Christ has not descended from heaven. Christ has not risen from the dead. You shrink at that. Of course you do. That's the language of atheism or unbelief at least. But you see, friend, if you're thinking that salvation is out of reach, it's too hard. It's unattainable. I can't reach it. It's hopeless. Then this is what your heart is saying. And the righteousness of faith is telling you, don't say that. Don't say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Do not say, who is going to go up to heaven? How shall I get to such a height of holiness in order to be saved? What spiritual pilgrimage do I need to take in order to be saved? How many times should I go to church or attend the sacrament in order to attain that state which may draw down the smile of heaven upon me? Who shall ascend up to heaven? Well, if you're saying that, and that's what it says here, then that would imply that no Savior has come down from heaven. You wouldn't say it with your mouth, but you say it in your heart. Your heart is acting as if Christ had not come down from heaven, that he had not come down to earth to work out salvation by his obedience and suffering. Don't say that in your heart. And don't say this either, who shall descend into the deep? Because that is saying to bring up Christ again from the dead. Who is going to go down into the grave to awake the Savior to rise from the dead? Who is saying that? Don't say that. Your heart is exercised in such a way as if Christ were still in the grave. If you're saying salvation is so hard, it's so difficult, you're acting as if Christ is still in the grave. But he is not. He's risen. Just as he said. And the empty tomb speaks peace. There is forgiveness. Don't turn away from it. Don't say in your heart, how many tears of penitence must I shed? What depths of sorrow should I plummet in order to find relief of conscience and gain the approval of the Holy One? How low must I sink in order to be saved? Don't say that in your heart. Don't say in your heart, who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? Friend, don't be in such a state of mind that is at variance with the blessed truth that Christ has come from heaven. He died. He was buried in the tomb. He rose from the dead. In other words, the work is done. Christ finished the work given him to do. Christ rose triumphant from the grave. And the resurrection is the proof that God has accepted him in the place of the guilty. The resurrection is the proof of Christ's purchase. So never be in a state of mind that would be reasonable only upon the supposition that Christ had not come down from heaven to work out a righteousness, that he had not risen from the dead and ascended back into heaven. Now, you're not ignorant of God's righteousness, but if you're in this state of mind where you're hopeless, you feel that it's so difficult, then you're acting as if there is no righteousness that is offered to you freely. You're asking, who is going to do it? How can it be done? And that's basically saying that Christ hasn't done it already. Who is going to elevate himself and be good enough to win heaven? Who's going to do it? But friend, don't say it's impossible. Do not say that salvation is unattainable. Don't say it's too hard, because nothing is too hard for God. And never give in to those feelings. Don't give in to that state of mind that is right and reasonable only if no Savior came from heaven and no Savior rose from the dead. The Lord Jesus cried, "It is finished." And the point is, you by nature, myself also, we think we have to do something in order to be saved. And does this describe your case? That you have come to appreciate something of the demands of the law? You know that without holiness no man shall see the Lord. And you feel that this is so important that you're ready to do something. What must I do to be saved? I'm ready to get out there and earn my salvation, as it were. You wouldn't say that with your words. I'm ready to do something. It's so important. Such that when you're told, do nothing, but receive and rest on Christ alone for salvation, it's almost too much for you. You're either puzzled, how can that be true? Or you actually shrink from it and say, that's too good to be true. I'm not going to accept that. Something's wrong. Something's missing. Salvation is free. Freely offered. Salvation by simple faith in Jesus Christ. And perhaps when you hear that, you're persuaded it must be more difficult than that. And perhaps you would secretly be glad to be told about a set of religious performances and prescribed tasks. And you wouldn't say that with your words, but deep down inside you feel that perhaps if you could just inflict upon yourself some kind of appointed chastisements, then you might be able to make amends for your past sins that trouble you so much. Of course, that is a just feeling in itself, that it is right that we can enter heaven only by righteousness. Sin must be dealt with. God does not wink at sin. But at the same time, when you're in this state of mind, if only you could do something, then basically you're putting yourself forward as wiser than God and stronger than God. Because God in His wisdom has appointed this way of justification by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And if you put your way in the place of God's way, you're saying that you're wiser than God. If you're looking to yourself for something that you can do in order to be accepted with God, you're saying you're smarter than God is. It's your way, not His way. And you think yourself stronger than God, as if your righteousness would be equal to the righteousness of God which He is offering to you. As if your righteousness can satisfy the law and the justice of God without the divine righteousness of Christ. Do you really think that your good works, that your efforts, measures up to Christ, the Son of God, who is obedient and always pleased the Father? And your humiliation, do you think your tears, your repentance, your deep sorrow, your dark night of the soul, as the Pope seems to have gone through once upon a time, that agony could measure up to the agony of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane? And He could not be exempt from the full infliction of the penalty of death when He was standing in the room in place of the guilty? No, friend, our descent into humiliation will never be able to fathom the depth of suffering that is necessary to satisfy the infinite justice of God. Away with our self-righteousness. Let us be ashamed to think that we would even rest upon it for a moment for acceptance with God. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? And don't say salvation is impossible. Don't think that it's a height that you have to reach that you will never really reach. Don't think it's a depth that you have to plummet that you will never really be able to plummet. That's putting salvation from you. It's making it harder than it is. God says He brings near His righteousness to you. There is no point of space to intervene. There is no moment of time that should prevent you from accepting at once this righteousness. It's brought near to you. Near, so that if you confess Christ with your mouth, if you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, that is with your heart, you'll be saved. Salvation is not impossible. What does the righteousness of faith say? We've heard from Moses in the law that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That's where it is. Not up high in the sky, not way down below. It's on your doorstep. It's here in the pew with you. God says, I bring near my righteousness, and you have no journey to make to reach it. The word is nigh thee. It's near to you. And therefore, we go on to look more closely. In the second place, the accessibility of salvation by faith. It is accessible. You have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. The word is nigh thee. How near, you say, in your mouth and in your heart. Well, we have to look at what this means, the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith which we preach. The word of faith. It is the word to which faith is directed. A word comes your way, faith should receive the word. It is the word that faith answers. It is, simply put, the gospel, the good news of salvation. And it is the word that is preached, the word of the truth of the gospel. It is that faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It is a word, the word of faith, because there is no other way that faith can proceed apart from the word. There's no other mode in which the righteousness of faith can be received but the revelation of the righteousness, the word that reveals Christ. The gospel is telling us about a Savior who came to save sinners, and it's that word, that truth, the proclamation, the good news that we joyfully receive in our hearts. That's the only way. We don't put on a literal white robe. That would be easy enough. Some people might say, if only it could be something visible. But just put on that white robe and all is well. No. It's simple dependence upon Christ's righteousness for acceptance with God. It is not by laying hold of Jesus' literal feet, as the women at the tomb, they rushed up and were clinging to Jesus' feet. No, that's not the way of salvation. It's laying hold of Christ, yes, in our souls, receiving the word, receiving the promise of the gospel. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. Unto you is the forgiveness of sins proclaimed through this man, Jesus Christ. To you, forgiveness of sins is preached. It's the word of faith which is preached. So, remember that salvation is not a work. Salvation is in a word. And Christ has done the work. He has come down from heaven. He has worked out salvation. And that truth comes to us in the Word of God, the Word of the truth of the Gospel. Yes, the good news of salvation, Christ is the Lord of glory. He came from heaven to earth. He taught the people. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed. He was preaching and teaching, but more than that, he was obedient to the law. He kept all the Ten Commandments perfectly, working out a righteousness, as it were, weaving a garment, a robe of righteousness to put on. That's the picture, that's the metaphor. And it's a wedding garment that is put on spiritually, simply by depending upon it. The word of faith. Faith is receiving and resting on Christ alone for salvation. Christ has done the work. And here it says, for with the heart man, or verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why is the resurrection focused upon? Because if you believe in the resurrection, you believe all that Jesus claimed to be, the Son of God, who came to save sinners. The resurrection is the evidence that his claims were true. It is the evidence, it is the proof that God has accepted him in the place of the guilty. Forgiveness is proclaimed to us through the resurrection. So if you believe in the resurrection, you believe everything about Christ that is revealed in the gospel. And you see, all of this is revealed to us to trust in. Simple faith, depending upon Christ, trusting in Him, receiving and resting upon Christ alone for salvation. It is by faith and not by works. Salvation is by faith that it might be by grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say it's too good to be true. It seems so simple. Well, my friends, it is simple. Depending upon Jesus, He bridges the gap. He is the mediator, taking sinners to heaven, to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It is Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. What does He say? This is what He says. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So Christ has brought in everlasting righteousness. He comes near. He is the salvation. There is no distance that you have to travel because He brings it near to you. You say, how near? Well, it says in your mouth and in your heart. It's in your mouth to confess Him. This salvation is in your heart. This righteousness is in your heart to accept, to trust in, depend upon it, trust in it. Don't be like the Jews who did not submit to the righteousness of God, but submit. Submit to be saved by the work of another and not your own. Submit to the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. You want to do some great thing, but Christ has done it already. Rest there. Depend on the righteousness of Christ for acceptance with God. In the third place, then, we come to the familiarity of salvation by faith. It is familiar. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That's how familiar it is. It is familiar because it's not something you've never heard before. The truth, my friend, you have been brought up hearing about the truth from your earliest days. The truth is not something that was spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. It is familiar because it is easy. And you know what resting is, and that's all that's required. And what can be easier than resting? That's something that's familiar to you. And yes, we know that the sinner is so busy with activity that he needs the Holy Spirit to enable him to rest, to bring that sinner to loosen up, if we may say the word, to loosen, to rest, to fall into the arms of a Redeemer. Still, the terms of salvation are easy and familiar. In your mouth, in your heart, that's where this word of faith is. The truth that is proclaimed, that comes to you in a word, in a promise. He that believeth shall be saved. That's a promise. Trust in Him and you are righteous. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Do you put your amen to that? You say, well, I know it's in my mouth. It's so easy to say it. Yes, that's true. And you're saying, how can it be in my heart? I'm a depraved sinner. To say that the word is in your mouth, I can go so far, but to say it's in my heart, I think that's, I have difficulties with that. It's too good to be true. So far, so good, friend. But remember, we're speaking about grace. And we are not saved by works, but by grace. And by His powerful grace. You say, I need faith. Yes, that's true. But remember that God brings faith into being by calling it into being. God calls those things which be not as though they were. He says, let light be. As if light was already there, but there was no light. Who is He speaking to? He calls it into being by saying it is so. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be faith. The word is in you. It's in your heart. And is not God's word effective? You see, it's the word of faith, the outward call of the gospel. That's the external means that God uses, calling sinners to believe. And that's the way He works in the call of the gospel. It's like a school teacher prompting a pupil or a student to come out with the correct answer. The teacher is furnishing, providing all the helps and encouragements for the student to give the right word or answer. Come out with it. This is something you know already. Say it. And so the righteousness of faith is speaking. The righteousness of faith is speaking to you. Come out with that word. It's so near. It's just that a word. To depend on that word. Christ died for sinners. My friend, I ask you, is this your hope? Speak it out. Christ is all my salvation. Or are you unwilling to acknowledge how simple the gospel is? How simple salvation is? Oh friend, it's faith's part not to gainsay, but to agree with God's word. God says it's in your heart. Accept it. Take Him at His word. In other words, lay hold of the promises. God says, I will put my Spirit within you. Don't say, well, that must be for somebody else. God says, I will give you a new heart. Don't say that can't be true for me. The word, what does He say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Will you accept it? Will you receive it? Will it be true for yourself? Lay hold of it. And if you say, well, it's too good to be true, well, that's a very poor objection. If you receive the truth in your heart, in the love of it, and not question it, don't speak against it, but let His voice speak, then you'll find it is true. The word is in your heart. If you have such affection to Christ as to confess Him from the heart, as you surely will do if you're believing in Him, then you're saved already. Oh, for that heart response. The word is in your heart. That's where salvation is. That's where the word of faith that reveals the righteousness of faith. It's not over the sea. It's not up the mountain. It's in your heart. Speak it out in your heart. From your heart cry out, my Lord and my God. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. It's God's word and spirit that brings it to pass. God speaks, faith responds. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, I will seek. Faith is the gift of God. wrought in the heart of a sinner by the Word and the Spirit of God. The Word is the prompter, prompting faith. The Holy Spirit produces faith. Jesus Christ is your teacher. By His Word He speaks to you. By His Spirit He reveals the will of God for salvation to you. And He is the same Lord, the Lord our righteousness. Are you calling upon Him? This is His name whereby He shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Is He your righteousness? He is your Lord. He is the Lord your righteousness. If you will only receive Him, if you'll stop rejecting Him, He comes to you, friend, and He speaks to you, friend, and He says, "The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." Jesus Christ and life and salvation by Him is freely offered to you. Take what is given in the gospel. And if in your consciousness you don't find access to His salvation, if you feel clouds of guilt hindering you, a devil lying to you, well then, press on, press in, press into the kingdom, take it by force, as it were, take the access, for it is yours in the gospel, and God is offering it to you. He is offering this salvation to you, His free gift. And what is a gift for but to be received? You don't leave it on your doorstep, kick it aside. I'm closing the door, I'm not going to look at it or unwrap it. No, a gift is to be received. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. He already came down from heaven. He's already worked out salvation. And this Word of the truth of the gospel, this Word that reveals this righteousness, the righteousness of God, this Word that reveals this righteousness is near, in your mouth and in your heart. You say, can it be right? Is it really for me? What reason do I have to expect it? What warrant do I have to expect this salvation, to receive, to lay hold of this salvation? But I can ask you, why should you ask for a warrant to do what you are commanded to do? I need a warrant, but you're commanded. You don't need a warrant. You have the Word that's commanding you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that you may be saved. And not only are you commanded, but you are urged, you are entreated, you are invited to come, whosoever will. That's all. Salvation is at a word and at a desire and the exercise of dependence. Depend on Him, whosoever will. Let Him take the water of life freely. Friend, call on the name of the Lord. He is calling you. Do you not hear His voice? He's saying, "My son, give me thine heart." He's saying, "Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth?" He's calling you, friend. He's saying, "O daughter, hearken and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him." Say not in thine heart, "Who shall ascend into heaven?" That is to bring Christ down from above. Or, "Who shall descend into the deep?" That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? "The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the Word of faith which we preach. My friend, if the Lord has enabled you, like Lydia, to respond to the gospel. Paul preached, Lydia listened, and Lydia responded because the Lord opened her heart. Then be thankful and never stop giving thanks and never stop marveling at his mercy, but also continue to rest on him alone for salvation. Be thankful for his grace and show your gratitude by confession. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There is the fruit of faith. It will come to expression. There will be evidence. Confess him. Confession is made unto salvation. We're not saved in point of justification by our confessing Christ, but there will always be confession when there is faith in Christ. It is the fruit of faith. Confession is the evidence of salvation. No confession, no salvation. And in that sense, Paul the Apostle says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you desire holiness? Well, remember this. It is not our obedience that will win the favor of God. And if we would truly be obedient to Christ, we must begin by receiving and resting on Christ alone for salvation. That's the first step in obedience. But also, to truly obey God in keeping the commandments, we must realize, as it has been put, real obedience begins where slavish terror ends. Real obedience begins where slavish terror ends. And if you're full of fear and you're trying to be obedient in order to gain the favor of God, you need to stop and realize it starts by resting on Christ for full, free forgiveness and acceptance with God, and then go forward in obedience to all the commandments of God, walking with him uprightly. And the more you are assured of acceptance solely on the basis of Christ's obedience, the more you will be ready, readier than ever, to serve the Lord with all your heart. Whatever your condition, come. Come now, for all things are ready. Nothing is required but simply to enter into the full enjoyment of that salvation that Christ is offering to you. So many people pass it by because it is so close. It's like looking for a coin you've dropped, and you know for sure it rolled way over there across the room, or it might be down in the gutter, when all the while it's right in front of you. All the while. It's so puzzling because it's so plain. It seems far off and difficult, but it's so near. The gospel is so plain to him that understands. And when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see the simplicity of the gospel, you will wonder whatever took you so long. There's no journey to travel, no depths to descend, such that when you truly rest on Jesus, you will say in your heart, this is just what I've been told was the case all along. And all I have to do is not refuse Jesus Christ, but receive him. That's all that is needed to believe and be saved. And I've been hearing about this from my earliest days. Why didn't I understand? Why did I not submit? How wonderful is this truth? How wonderfully familiar is the way of salvation? It's not difficult after all. It's not a ladder to climb or a slippery slope to fall. Salvation has been brought so near to me. It was right at my doorstep from the very beginning. The word is nigh me, even in my mouth and in my heart, just as the righteousness of faith speaketh, the word is nigh thee. It is that faithful saying, worthy of your acceptance, worthy of your full embrace. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Do you put your amen to that truth? Well, then rest there. Rest on the faithfulness of the word of faith and say to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. May he bless his word. Let us pray.